Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the sashimi of conversation, dipping it into the soy sauce of great humour, and then popping it in your mouth, and that's the podcast, and it's sushi, because I had sushi last night.
Well, that sounds genuinely delicious. That is Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant. We invite a guest in every week, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Joe Cornish. It's Joe Cornish. Finally completing the Adam Buxton and Joe Cornish double hit.
Yeah, you know, space it out.
You got to space it out.
Joe Cornish, of course, wonderful director, writer, also, you know, known for his work with Adam Buxton back in the day. But
He's got so much on the old CV as Joe Cornish.
Yeah.
What a career. And very excited to speak to him.
Very excited. Joe what? I'm going to say before he gets it.
Joe what?
Lovely voice.
Very nice voice.
Something about his voice.
Yeah.
And Adam and Louis Theroux, they all went to school together, right? They've all got something about their voices. It's lovely.
Yeah, really nice. Really nice. So I'm hoping that he brings his nice voice with him today.
He'll bring the nice voice. And also, he's brought the nice TV show with him.
He's brought the nice TV show. He's got a new TV show called Lockwood & Co., which is out now on Netflix. And it sounds so exciting, James. In a world plagued by ghosts, where giant corporations employ psychic teens to battle the supernatural, only one company operates without adult supervision. And its name is Lockwood & Co., run by Anthony Lockwood, a rebellious young entrepreneur haunted by his mysterious past, his brilliant but eccentric sidekick George, and newly arrived supremely gifted girl called Lucy. This renegade trio are about to unravel a terrifying mystery that will change the course of history. I hope that's what it's about.
Ed, you know so much about it. You know so much about Lockwood & Co.
I don't know that. That is what I hope it is.
Yeah, that is very exciting.
Ruined for me because I auditioned for it. So
yeah, you're not a kid, man. I've told you before, stop auditioning to play a kid.
But one day it might happen.
It will not happen. Especially not one day. You're getting older. If anything, time's working against you. Stop auditioning to play kids. Start auditioning for adult roles and then maybe you'll get something.
One day, I will play a kid.
You will not play a kid, man. Ed, audition for a Rugrats movie.
Yeah.
You just wanted to play Tommy Pickles.
I'd be a great Tommy Pickles.
Listen, man. We've been through this.
We've got to combine forces. Tommy Pickles and you're Chucky.
Well, I could be Chucky, obviously.
Yeah. Ginger.
Yeah, it's like a Pichucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to speak with a blocked up nose all the time.
Yeah.
What a character. What a character.
Benito could be Angelica.
Yeah, Benito's very much like Angelica. Comes and bullies us and we're all scared of him every single week. Well, maybe we'll pitch this to Joe Cord. Because I think they were going to do a Rugrats movie, weren't they?
Yeah.
Is I'm that not been gonna... and gone?
I'm not going to bring up the audition, probably.
You might not bring it up.
Nah.
I might
bring up that I went to a film screening and he kicked over my popcorn when he walked past me.
Definitely bring that up. That's food related.
Yeah.
That's food related. Then we can ask him about what popcorn he likes.
Me and Nish went to see a film screening.
Nish Kumar.
And Joe Cornish was sat really near us. Uh-huh. And then he got up to go to the toilet. He kicked Nish's popcorn over. And he came back from the toilet. He kicked my popcorn over. And then Nish kept shouting, "Attack the pop," for the rest of the night.
Attack the pop. God. I mean, that is funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him what kind of popcorn he likes. I think he's going to say salted.
I don't think he likes popcorn, clearly. Mm. He actively hates it.
He's jealous that you guys had some, yeah. I think. Yeah. Because he wanted some pop.
Yeah. Attack the pop.
Attack the pop. Also, if he brings up like that he likes cheese, I'm going to say attack the block of cheese.
What else comes in blocks?
Yeah, yeah. We've got to think of other stuff because we definitely want to say attack the block. So. If he says croc en bouche, we go attack the croc.
Attack the croc. That's good.
So we can say that for that.
Yeah.
So just any opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
And then if we do say it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a heads up right now.
Yeah.
Not normally I don't give a heads up. If I get one of these in,
yeah,
say attack the thing. I will say, like, attack the croc en bouche, and then I'll go, Championi, Championi, ole, ole, ole.
Why are you giving me a heads
and
up?
Then I'm going to carry on.
It's baffling anyway, and it's exactly the sort of thing you would do.
Yeah, well, I'll just let you know that's what's going
to
happen.
Well, don't forget to watch Attack the Lockwood.
Oh, yes! Championi,
Championi, ole, ole, ole. But unfortunately, if Joe says a secret ingredient that we've pre-established, he will be kicked out of the restaurant. And today's secret ingredient is
Cornish pasty.
Well, we've not reached too far for that one, but look, it was either that or a cup of Joe.
Yeah, we're not superhuman here, guys. We're just people like you. And we just try our best with the secret ingredient. And
it's just a format point. That we've really backed ourselves into a corner.
Especially... I'm thinking of a particular Cornish pasty that I used to get Cornish pasties when I was like living in Kettering, and I'd come back from London from gigs. I'd get it at St Pancras and they were not enough meat and too much pastry.
Are you talking about the West Cornwall Pasty Company?
Yeah, with the pirate.
Yeah, I like those. They've got big thick handle around the outside.
Too thick.
I love the Steak and Stilton one.
Yeah, that was my go-to.
Yeah.
But I would find that it was too hot on the inside, too cold on the outside. The handle was too big.
You prefer it to be hot on the outside and cold in the middle, would you?
Oh, no. Funnily enough, I'd like it hot on the outside, hot in the middle as well. I'd like it to be nice.
You're crazy.
I don't think the deal is one of the elements has to be cold.
Well, hopefully he doesn't pick that anywhere because I'm very excited to speak to him. This is the off-menu menu of Joe Cornish. Welcome, Joe, to the Dream Restaurant.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Welcome, Joe Cornish, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Holy shitbox. It's the genie.
Holy shitbox. Now, before we started recording, you asked us if you were allowed to swear. Yeah. And you were straight in there with holy shitbox.
I like to make myself feel comfortable. It's like arranging scatter cushions on a sofa. A couple of shits at the beginning. Get really comfy.
Now, that's given me a horrible image of how you arrange your sofa. A couple of shits at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is not. My sofa's very clean and quite expensive. It's been ruined by the cat.
How big is your sofa and how many scatter cushions are on it?
It's a three-person sofa with big bottoms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three big-bottomed people. Opposite it is a two-bottomed. Is that how you measure a sofa in buttocks?
Yeah. In buttocks.
It's a six buttock and a four buttock.
Yeah, yeah.
But mega buttocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've answered your question.
Well, how many scatter cushions are on there?
There's no scatter cushions on it.
Do you think they're a waste of time, scatter cushions?
Scatological cushions.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it took me a while to bring that round.
I'm glad we got there, though.
What, would I ever put scatter cushions on?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're silly scatter cushions. Like, you don't actually scatter them. It's not like you're a farmer in a sofa on a sofa farm scattering the cushions at the beginning of the season. So you'll grow a whole branch of... Name a sofa shop.
DFS.
You'll grow a whole branch of DFS.
So you have a fallow sofa.
In time
sofa.
For the harvest. I do. Well, there might be some coinage growing in the furrows.
Do you have a hairy cat?
What, like a long-haired cat?
Yeah, how hairy
no,
is
it's
your cat?
A short hair.
All right,
he's
okay.
A British, he's a British short hair. His name is Smudge, which is like calling a boy Colin.
Yeah?
Isn't it? Smudge for a cat.
It's nice, though.
When I was a kid, I did a comic strip of on Her Majesty's Secret Service with a friend of mine when we saw it on telly.
Oh, yeah.
And we gave James Bond a cat, and the cat was called Smudge.
Oh.
So I've always wanted to name a cat Smudge, and now I've finally done it.
Did you pitch that to the family when you got this cat?
Oh, there was no question that I would be naming the cat.
Mm.
Yeah. My daughter's three, yeah. So has no agency.
Yeah.
And my wife knows better than to try and name the cat.
Yeah.
It's my one area of authority.
You're a writer, right? You can, you know, you can come up with a cat name.
Smudge. Bang. 10 out of 10.
But then, you know, you're writing loads of scripts and stuff. You get to name characters all the time. You don't want to, like, give it to someone else for one fucking goddamn second?
For naming?
one shitboxing second? You want to let someone else name it for once?
Would you like to rename my cat, James?
No, because I
could give him some middle names, like a pedigree cat.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Go on.
Smudge, Ed Gamble. I'm just looking at Ed.
Wow.
So.
Wow. One of the most inventive comics of his generation, apparently.
Smudge, Ed Gamble, Cornish. That's pretty
good. That is good.
Ben.
That's one of those middle names you'd never tell anybody.
Yeah, Ed Gamble.
And you'd be embarrassed when you when you admitted it.
His middle name is Ed Gamble. That's quite good. Is that official now?
That is official, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
But you'll
exciting.
Never mention it again to anyone.
Well, I think we're on quite a popular podcast.
Yeah.
So the damage is done.
Bad luck. Smudge Ed Gamble Cornish.
Good initials, though. S-E-G-C.
The C kind of...
Took me a while.
Nearly forgot the first letter of your own surname.
It's early. What's my name? Of all the scripts you've written, what's your favourite character name that you've come up with for someone?
Well, it was fun naming the characters in Attack the Block.
Yeah.
And I'm working on the script for the sequel, and I'm having fun finding those names. Like Pest, I like.
Mm-hmm.
As the answer to your question.
That's exciting that there's... I didn't know that there's going to be another Attack the Block.
Yeah, hopefully. Exciting.
Boyega coming back for it?
He is, yeah. He's. We're writing it together.
What?
Yes, sir. What? Both holding the pen.
It's taken a while, right?
It can be difficult if the writing's very scrawly.
He's fighting you. You're trying to call another character Smudge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not again.
I should put a Smudge in there. That would be a good name.
That would be really good.
Smudge. Why would you name a human Smudge?
I'd want Smudge to be a really evil character because it's such a cute name.
Yes. Counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe Smudge holds a pen in a weird way and just smudges the ink as he or she writes.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
But, hey, Lockwood & Co.'s coming out. That's exciting.
Plug time.
Yeah, hey, it's
stick that plug in the socket.
We really try and bring it in naturally and organically,
that's good.
This sort of thing.
No, this is a show for Netflix. But might this podcast go out after that show goes out?
So, yes, it's available now.
Well, then it's available now. It's a supernatural action adventure series in 8 parts.
Yeah.
First and the last ones, directed by me. Flick me the V then.
You did flick you
I did.
I think you tried to do 2 episodes and flick James
the V.
Yeah.
And then I've sort of, I think I'm called a showrunner, even though I don't like that term.
Right.
Why not? Why don't you like that term?
It sounds tiring, running. Mm. And show, I don't know, sounds a bit razzle-dazzle. And it just sounds like Greg Wallace might visit me and ask me how I do it. Do you know what I mean?
You're telling me?
Yeah. Oh, Joe, this is amazing. And you get that many shows out in this much time. Oh, I never realised it when I opened my packet of shows that this much work went into them.
You're telling me you film 4 minutes a day?
Yeah.
Wearing a hairnet for no reason.
Yeah.
Absolute waste of time every time he's got a hairnet on.
Like writer-director sounds quite sort of sophisticated,
that's good.
Doesn't it? Showrunner, I don't know.
This is an exciting series, though.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because
we've got the press release,
we've read the press release, and we're like, this sounds cool.
No, it is good. It's quite exciting and spectacular, and it's got ghosts and fighting ghosts. It's a clever idea. Mm. Like, the idea is that ghosts can kill you by touching you. One little touch of a ghost, and you're dead.
Oh, no.
But, oh, no, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, usually in movies, ghosts can't do that much to you, can they? They can possess your daughter.
Yeah.
They can throw things at you. They can make very sudden loud noises that risk a heart attack.
Pottery? They can do pottery?
They can do pottery. That's true. I was watching that yesterday, weirdly.
If they touch the pot, the
connected
pot dies.
To something
that would be
else.
Awful if yeah, they if that can mythology do,
well, no, they
happened
can't, can they do pottery?
Well,
they can
help
sit
you.
Close
can sit behind
to you
while you do
pottery.
Pottery. But she'd be dead immediately if it was Lockwood.
If it was
Lockwood,
yeah, that would be a very... Her, she would slam face forward into the pot. And then her corpse would spin round. Until it hit a table leg.
Yeah. Is she then a ghost and she spins round and gets flung off somewhere and touches someone else and then they're dead?
Yeah, well, that could be a massacre in the streets.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Are you a big foodie?
Well, you know, I'm not. I'm really infantile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm one of these people that's hanging on to peculiar decisions they made based on nothing when they were 12. So this isn't going to be your, haute cuisine episode of Off Menu.
That's interesting.
I'm very excited to hear the stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I am wasted in a posh restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, in both senses of the of the phrase. Like, you're sort of wasting your money if you take me to a medium restaurant or to Brixton Village.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that, and I'm in.
But posh restaurant.
Posh restaurant.
But surely that must have happened a lot in the past.
Frustrated.
Like Netflix, did they take you out to wine you and dine you in
have
the posh
they?
Restaurant?
Yeah, I do go to, quite a lot of sort of business type, meeting type dinners. But, I do get quite tetchy. Not tetchy, what's the word? Like, impatient. I just want the food slapped down. I mean, I've been served courses that are just like, I don't want to eat any of that cube of peculiar substances. Here's the thing, I like to know what I'm eating.
Yeah.
So I like to see it. I don't like sauces because they feel like a smokescreen.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
You don't see the sauce as part of the dish?
No, I don't. I think it's like, well, if you're going to cook something, cook it nicely. Don't smother it in a sauce to try and, putting a sauce on something's like wearing a Halloween costume on a daily basis or something. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's like a mask to hide
on a daily basis.
but the sauce is surely part of the cooking. You're suggesting that they've cooked something and then grabbed some sauce from the fridge or something and then just covered it.
You can't taste the sauce. It combines with the
flavour.
Okay,
well, here's the other weird thing. I don't drink tea or coffee.
Mm. Right.
And I've only just, in my twilight years, which I'm now in.
Are you in the twilight years now?
I think so. Started drinking hot drinks. Like, I've got a lemon and ginger here.
Yeah.
So basically hot sauce, I just don't like hot fluids.
Right, okay.
You must have had people like this on before with peculiar infantile
hangups. Oh, definitely, yes.
We've heard that Paul Rudd does not like sauces.
I've eaten a meal with Paul Rudd.
That must have been the driest meal in existence.
Yeah, but everyone was like, those two guys, what the...
I got a piece of lettuce on my epiglottis. Is what I remember about that meal. It was with Edgar in LA.
Yeah.
And we were in quite a posh restaurant. This is when we were just, when Edgar was casting Ant-Man before we left Ant-Man. Edgar chose Paul for Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And so we sat down and had a meal with him and I started sort of convulsing and be unable to talk and coughing violently. And it was a little piece of, tiny little piece of lettuce, almost like a little rip of Rizla that was basically attached to my epiglottis. Very difficult to get off because you can't get a finger and thumb in there and peel it off.
Sure. The only way
you
to
risk
do it.
Twanging your epiglottis.
Yep.
Paul Rudd shrink down to the size of Ant-Man and go in there and get it, right?
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah?
Thank you.
That's the only way.
Me and James have both been thinking about that ever since.
You can tell.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
As soon as Ed said the only way to do it, I went, fair enough. He got there first.
I should have said to him, look, if you want this part, get the lettuce off my epiglottis. The audition of all auditions.
Yeah, wow.
Yes. But I don't think he would have got the part.
No,
if
he could do it in real life.
If he'd shrunk down and got the lettuce off your epiglottis,
well,
you wouldn't have given them the part.
Because imagine the VFX money you would have saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he could really shrink a dink.
Jumped in your mouth, got the lettuce, then came out your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then sat down and carried on talking to Edgar.
That would have been a meal to remember.
Well, we always start the dream menu with still a sparkling water.
Yeah, well, this has become a very controversial binary decision on your podcast, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit like some sort of factional political divide that might schism the country.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling, having listened to your podcast, that, still water is the thing to... That's the sort of popular choice.
We get a lot of sparklers in. There's a lot of those sparklers knocking around.
I feel
around.
Like it's 50-50. Yeah. Also, I
Do
know...
You? I don't. Well, here's the thing. I think it depends on your budget.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to buy still water.
Yeah.
Like, that seemed very decadent to
me. I completely agree.
Go for tap water.
Yeah.
If I'm really splashing out and having an exciting meal, then I'm going to have some fizz in my water.
Right.
Because I'm not paying for water, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends on the time of day, the budget. But I'm in the dream restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So money's no object.
Yeah.
Object? Object. I'm going to go for sparkles.
You're going to go for the sparkles?
I certainly am, yeah.
I... Just because of what we've been talking about so far,
yeah.
I would imagine that if you had sparkling water, you would splutter and just like it would be a disaster.
Because of my sensitive epiglottis.
Your epiglottis. Yeah, you'd be all over the place.
Yeah.
Talking like Donald Duck.
No, I'm pretty good. I can handle my sparkling water.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm pretty good on sparkling water. I mean, it's an exciting drink, don't get me wrong.
If anything, it might help if you've got something stuck in your epiglottis.
It might erode it away. Bubble the leaf off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some sort of Alka-Seltzer function.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do feel that, like a bit of a dilettante, even though I'm not sure what that word means. I feel like a bit of one for choosing sparkling water.
But it's, you know, this is the dream restaurant.
It is, so I don't get judged.
No one can judge you.
Dilettantism.
Yeah, no one can judge you in the dream restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Do you want it in a, rather than put it in a glass, do you want us to put it in like a tankard or something so people can't see through it? So you can probably pretend like you're drinking tap water. So you don't feel like a dilettante.
No. I want to go the whole hog. I want a big expensive bottle and a champagne flute.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I want to. And I'll hold it with my little finger extended a la Tony Hadley.
Yeah.
And I'll sip it and sup it and burp and like nobody's business.
You say cheers?
Every time you take a sip?
Yes, I will. I'll say bon santé. Bon santé, I think, is French for good health.
So who would you be saying that to in your...
Who else is in my dream restaurant?
Is anyone there with you?
Who's in my dream restaurant? Just people people who laugh at my jokes. And like a lot of times when I have dinner with people, I don't know, I find that they talk a lot about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just a really good listener. But I'm trying to think how I could get a group of people who'd be fascinated by me. Maybe I'd recruit them on the internet.
You'd want some sort of lackeys or toadies?
Yeah, on Instagram, maybe some toadies.
Yeah.
Some toadies. Some fawning toadies. Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I'd hold some sort of toady competition and see who could write the toadiest note.
Yeah. Toady from Neighbours turns up. He's gutted. He's got it wrong.
Toadfish.
Toadfish, yeah.
Toadfish.
Oh, that'll be a great dinner.
Do you want Jared Rebecca to come to your meal?
Who's that?
That's Toadfish's, the character.
Wow.
Name.
That's good.
Wow. Well done.
Are you like a deep Neighbours fan?
No, not anymore, but I do. That was my era.
Really?
Was Toadfish / Jared Rebecca.
Also, I'd say Toady / Toadfish is very much like The Rock was in wrestling, where even if you don't really like the show or watch it very much, you know that character and you think that character's awesome. You can be a fan of Toadfish and not a fan of Neighbours.
Yeah, that's true. Same with Harold Bishop.
Yes.
Yeah. I tell you what I'd have. I'd have all my friends, Louis, Edgar, Adam, some friends who aren't like well-known as well.
Let's throw in a name of one of the ones who isn't well-known as
Tom.
Well. Tom.
Tom would be there. David would be there. Townend. He's the cinematographer. He shot Attack the Block and he shot Lockwood & Co.
He's still a colleague.
Yeah.
He's a colleague.
Any friends who aren't colleagues?
Very clever guy. Any friends who aren't colleagues? David. I mean, most of my friends are in the biz.
How do you know David?
Well, David runs the film 4 Channel.
Oh, okay.
David Cox. But I did know him before. I knew him long before I made films.
We've got to find a friend who doesn't work in the industry.
All right, this is tough.
We've got to find someone.
I think they all work in the industry.
No,
yeah,
surely
I really
not.
Think they do.
Surely you've got one friend
no,
who doesn't
work
in the
industry. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Smudge.
Smudge. I knew we were going to get to Smudge being at the meal.
He's a good conversationalist.
Yeah.
He doesn't say much, but he looks at you and blinks.
Oh, yeah.
And then does,
that means he loves you, you know?
Does the silent meow. Anyway, the point of having all those people is the one difference would be they'd be fascinated by me.
Yeah.
And really want to hear what I had to say about myself and my career instead of just constantly talking about themselves and their own achievements.
I think that's your fault for only having friends within the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had a friend who didn't work in the industry, they
so
probably
impressed.
Would be interested.
Yeah. They'd be so impressed.
Man, I'm trying to think. This is terrible. I probably do. I'm just panicking.
Yeah, I really hope your neighbours don't listen to this podcast.
Okay. Well, am I friends?
Hello, in the industry, probably.
I'm not like tight, close friends with my neighbours. Are
sure.
you?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
They're not super close buddies.
I like them. But I've only lived there for a few months, to be fair to me.
Yeah.
Maybe I should scroll through the contacts in my phone and see. So that's my producer. That's
Will Joe
Adam,
Cornish.
That's my
find
wife.
A contact in his phone who is
these
not
are the
in
people
industry.
Who've called me in the last couple this of days. Friends. My producer, Naira,
yeah.
who's a massive fan of this podcast.
Hello, Naira.
My wife, Adam Buxton.
Yeah.
My builder, Claudie.
Now, is Claudie a
right.
friend?
Do you want Claudie to come?
Yeah, he's a friend. Do I want Claudie to come? Yeah, he could come.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get Claudie.
What's Claudie like?
He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very good. I mean, he does big jobs.
Yeah.
But he does little jobs too.
Yeah.
I like that in a person.
I like Claudie. Yeah.
That's all you needed to hear yeah. to like him. Claudie's great. I found two more friends.
Yeah.
Joel. I've accidentally called Edgar.
Yeah. I don't call Edgar.
He's going to call back now.
He'd love to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
again.
He loves his podcast.
He
yeah.
does love the podcast. Leo,
Joel.
She works
so got
in
Joel,
the industry. Joel produces Black Mirror.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, there you go.
And that's it. So, yeah. Well,
so
William,
the closest we've got was Claudie.
William, he's a plumber. I called when my boiler broke the other day.
Okay.
So Claudie and William can come.
He's a producer. Lucy Pardee, she's a researcher. It's an unknown caller.
Oh.
Maybe I'll have to track them down and invite them.
Yeah.
Whoever it was.
This is my friend unknown caller.
You don't know me, but you called me accidentally at 4:32 2 weeks ago. Would you like to come to have a meal with me in a dream restaurant?
It's going
to
be me and Claudie and Smudge.
Yeah, listen, I'm going months back and all I can find is my hairdresser.
Yeah. Jesus. Well,
there you go.
Thank you very much for doing the research yes. there and seeing if you could find anyone.
Yeah.
Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Joe Cornish? Problems or bread?
Well, bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had these friends who started a restaurant and they grew. They had a brand new type of bread in their restaurant. And
a
they
brand
grew
new bread.
A yeast.
Wow.
And they grew it. Have you ever come across this kind of shit? They did it in a yogurt pot in a cupboard.
Yeah.
And I think they were so heavily into breeding bread. They were bread breeders. I'm not sure that's the right term, but
yeah,
I like
it.
Because that's what yeast does, isn't it? One bit of yeast parties with another little bit of yeast.
In a yogurt
and they
pot.
Create a new sort of yeast. They're just cultures, aren't they?
Yeah.
And in a Petri dish.
It's sort of disgusting when you think about it.
It's disgusting when you think about it. It's
revolting.
Disgusting when you look at it under a microscope.
Yeah.
It's delicious when you eat it.
Oh, yeah, when you eat it. But you didn't eat it straight out of the yogurt pot, did you?
No, but they so wanted to become restaurateurs that even when they were at university, they were breeding yeast. And they invented this sort of yeast, and it became the signature bread of their restaurant, which was called Morrow in Exmouth Market.
Heard of it.
And the bread there was like the... one of the signature things when you went there, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
But when I ate it, I always used to think of a grotty little cupboard in a student house in Bristol and an old pot noodle pot.
Can you think of anything else that is disgusting when you think about it, disgusting when you look at it under a microscope, delicious when you eat it?
Yeah, all meat.
Yeah, meat.
All
surely
uncooked
meat.
Yeah. I mean... most food, really, probably.
You think
isn't
it's all
it? Yeah.
disgusting under a microscope?
Kind of. Everything's disgusting under a microscope. What
apples?
Apart from Ant-Man.
He's better.
What isn't?
He
He's even
great.
Better.
Yeah.
You can see his expressions much more clearly.
Yeah. Was there a period in your life where you were thinking a lot about that sort of stuff? Wait, it was just like...
Ant-Man?
All of your thoughts just went to things being shrunk down and
about
tiny.
Yeah, we worked on that film for about eight years.
Wow.
From before the first Iron Man movie.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah, on and off, we were working on... I mean, we weren't just working on that for 8 years.
Yeah.
That would be too much, too long for a film about a shrinky-dink superhero.
Such
no,
a
but
tiny
on
man.
And off, we were both doing other things.
So you're always, like, maybe look at a mug and think, oh, imagine a little man.
Well, it's weird how doing that sort of thing actually cleans your mind.
Yeah.
When you think about something for that long, you're like, okay, done with that, finished with that.
I never have to think about it.
Never
people.
Have to think about it ever again.
But are you suggesting that Joe would look at everything and go, imagine a little man climbing up that?
Yeah. Like, if I was doing Ant-Man for 8 years, I think every time I looked at anything, I would think, like, I'm looking right now at a tissue box here.
Yes.
And I would think, well, imagine a little man climbing up the tissue box and then jumping in the hole where the tissues are.
You know,
and what would that be like for the little man?
You would be a big, you'd be a fan of the Ant-Man films. you should watch, and he appears in the Avengers movies as well.
Yes.
You might like them.
I would like that.
Is that a scene that you ever considered? Ant-Man climbing up a tissue box and jumping into the tissues?
Well, if he was, say, trying to parachute out of a high building, you could do that.
There you go.
Or if he had a cold.
And you just rip a little corner off, a tiny little corner
That's
off.
That's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the fibres would be very big and they'd lash against his face.
Yeah.
It'd probably be better off getting that little bit of lettuce.
You see how deep I'm going into this?
Yeah, see, no, but that's
I mean,
good.
I'm really imagining it and how to deal with it. This is the VFX meeting. No, Joe, the fibres would be too big. They'd lash against his face.
That's exciting.
That wouldn't fly in ILM. What would fly... is that man holding the corners of a tissue and jumping out of a high building? I was going to talk about plies, but three plies, because maybe he'd lose a ply and you go, but he's got two left. Then you lose another one. He's only got one ply.
So would you have to like add commentary there though? You'd have to have him going, no, I lost a ply.
No. The trick would be to set up the plies earlier in the film.
Yeah. Talk about
to just toss then. It in. Rest of the audience go, that's a strange.
So he'd probably go like, three plies.
Yeah. Would you like one of these three ply tissues? Throwaway line in
I
an
think
act Michael one
Peter's
scene.
Character could get away with saying that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think everyone would think we've How's his surname spelled? I've never seen it written down. I just said Pina, and I don't think it's Pina.
Yeah. I don't know.
Pena.
Yeah. I think so. Probably.
Anyway, I think if that character said, "Do you want one of these tissues? It's three ply," it would just be a funny joke, and people wouldn't really see it as like a thing. But then later on, you go, "Oh, no.
Yes,
that's good."
There we go. That's in the bag. The scene is written.
If someone offered you to do a borrower's film or TV show, would you do it, or would you think, "I can't think about that stuff again"?
I would think that. I don't like the borrowers. Borrowers, what are they called?
Borrowers.
They borrow.
Because they borrow. Yeah, they're thieves.
I don't know. Yeah, they feel they like. Yeah, I don't know. What is it? Isn't it Jim Broadbent?
He's
a very small Jim Broadbent living in the cracks of my floorboards would be upsetting for me.
Do you think in what you'd feel bad for Jim Broadbent, or you'd be worried about?
It just feels dirty.
Yeah,
I'd want to get a toothpick and clean him out.
Clean him out?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean out of your house?
Out
you don't
of
clean
the cracks
out his
in the floorboards.
His cracks.
Yeah.
You want to get him out?
Yeah. That'd be upsetting. It's just upsetting to have tiny people living. Ant-Man returns to normal size and carries on a reasonably normal life.
That's why you like him.
That's why I like him, yeah. But to have Broadbent, I don't know who the rest of the borrowers were.
Borrowers. Yeah,
Staunton. I'm just imagining Staunton.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
It'll be another national treasure.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Ian Holm is the original borrower.
Right.
That was like a Sunday lunchtime, Sunday tea time series, and it would be Ian Holm as the pod. I think it was the main one.
Yeah. No. Well, no insult to fans of the borrowers.
Yeah.
But no. But I think your earlier point stands. I'm just done with shrinking.
Yeah, he can't do it.
Yeah.
What would you do if you found a borrower in your house? Would you kill it?
What would I do? I would become a billionaire.
Mm.
Because I'd have a very, very tiny human.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that's ever existed before.
Yeah.
I'd probably call Blue Peter. That would be my first port of call.
To become a billionaire.
Well, just to get the exposure I need. Because I'm thinking of 70s Blue Peter, not the Blue Peter now, which is just house music and break dancing, isn't it? I don't know. I just think that's the first call for people who are unusually tall or unusually small.
Yeah.
Not the Guinness Book of Records?
Yeah, no, you're right, mate. The Guinness Book of Records. Yeah.
Also, it'd be very exciting for you if you found a borrower, because then you'd have a friend who wasn't in the industry.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think they'd immediately get in the industry.
Yeah, they'd immediately catapulted into showbiz.
Your things that you made them say. So then you're going for your phone. I've got Pod here. Oh, no, he's host Blue Peter now.
Oh, you've made me worried now I haven't got any friends in the industry.
Well, you know, we've got a whole podcast for you to remember someone that isn't Claudia or Smudge.
Quite unsettling having you talk in a casual manner about Claudia and Smudge.
So the bread is the bread from Morrow.
Yeah, the bread is the bread from Morrow.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Butter with it as well?
No, not butter. No. A little dish of delicious olive oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To dip it in. Lovely, but be very careful not to get it on your shirt.
Oh.
So I'd have to tuck in the napkin like a bib.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrible for getting oil splats on my clothes.
Yeah, me too.
The second I put a new shirt on, it's gone because of an oil splotch.
Oh, 2 days ago. 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Just I got up, showered, dressed, then went to make something in a frying pan with some olive oil.
Yes.
Immediately,
yeah.
Over all of it. I've got about seven aprons in my kitchen. Yeah. Hung up, I don't wear any of them.
You've got to put them on.
I was like, come on, man, you've got to start wearing an apron.
No, my wife's taught me to put an apron on now, and now I love it.
Yeah.
I like to call it a pinny.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
Because it feels a bit more transgressive.
Just imagining your wife teaching you literally the technique of putting an apron on. So your head goes through this bit.
That is kind of what happened. She ties the strings at the back for me. But you're right, you've got to protect your new clothes from oil. Definitely.
I'll just cook topless, though.
Yeah.
Do you?
Ed's
yeah.
Like sexy,
isn't your chest
body.
Covered in, like, little burns?
Tiny little burns.
Speckled with little burns.
Yeah, it's like the Burrows have had a cigarette party on my chest.
Really?
Yeah.
Cigarette party.
Videodrome style.
Yeah.
What's your apron look like?
Well, there's two aprons in the kitchen. One has got blue vertical stripes, your classic.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Kitchen. I think the other one is sort of brown. No, brown? Slimming, is it? Of course.
Vertical stripes are slimming, aren't they? So it's very clever to put that on.
Yeah.
Although as an apron, because it's not your full body, it must look weird.
Yeah, just the middle of the body is slimmed
very
down.
Slim in the middle. But
yes, like a sort of
awful
freaky funhouse optical illusion.
Yeah.
People can't look at me in it. Makes you feel dizzy.
Tiny body.
Yes, Claudia comes in, immediately falls over. Cracks the plaster.
Yeah.
Gets covered in oil.
Got another job.
He's not got his apron on.
The other one is just grey.
Oh, yeah.
That's for cooking sad meals.
A bit of egg, maybe.
I'm detecting that you prefer the vertical stripes one.
I go for whichever's hanging on the top of the huge cluster of things that are hanging off the back of the kitchen door, so much so that it doesn't open properly.
Yeah, our apron has came down recently. So
did it?
Yeah,
came off the wall. Was it self-adhesive?
Yeah, it was one of those adhesive ones, and then, you know, I got a new apron, a leather apron.
Listen, give Claudia a call. He'll screw one in for you.
Claudia will sort me out, won't he?
Yeah. He'll probably do it for free, just as a little taster, like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then get really addicted to Claudia's work.
Were you, and this is a genuine question that I care about.
Yes.
In the room when it fell down, or were you elsewhere in the house and heard it and thought, what the bloody hell is that?
I was away. I got back.
Oh, no.
I got back and all my aprons were on the floor.
Oh,
and I was like, well, I better hang those back up. Went down the back up. No hook.
No hook at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it's an adhesive one as well. There's no mark where it was.
How long ago was this?
This was 2 weeks ago, I'd say.
Well, you still look startled.
Yeah.
And when I came here today, I thought, Ed looks startled. Something's happened to Ed recently. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And now I know.
Yeah. And it's that. And as soon as aprons came up, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to bring this up.
God.
This is the first time we've talked about aprons on the podcast.
Really?
Mm. Which is like a food podcast that's been going for quite a while.
Yeah.
What's the difference between an apron and a pinny?
Well, I would imagine a pinny has like frills on it and stuff. That's what I imagine a pinny as, would have like frills around the...
Yeah.
It's a bit more
fancy. Why is it called a pinny?
Is it short for pinafore?
Well, a pinafore is a pinafore. A pinny is a pinny.
But what's a pinafore?
It's a little dress that you pin on the front of a dress, isn't it? Like I don't know. I don't watch enough Bridgerton. They have big bustly things.
Yeah.
And pop a little pinafore on the front.
I thought
it's like a bib for your genitals.
Yeah, yes. But I thought that's what a pinny
it's like a giant flat sporran.
And they need those in Bridgerton.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah,
they need bibs for their genitals.
Bibs for their genitals.
Do.
Yeah.
To clean up the oil splats.
Yeah,
there's a lot of oil splats.
The frying pan bukkake. Christ.
Also, I think. Fair to say, the first mention of bukkake on the podcast.
I think so, yeah.
So that's good.
I'm very proud.
And, of course, it's come... Yeah.
Right, I've Googled pinafore.
Yes.
Don't do that and go onto Google Images.
Right.
Why?
Well, I think... I like those pictures.
Those
I don't
pictures.
See your point.
I don't understand why that's the first thing that comes up on pinafore.
Naked women wearing
three pack
only pinafores.
I think pinnies and aprons they're quite potentially sexy because they happen to cover all your sensitive areas and not much else, but they leave the buttocks exposed.
Yeah.
So the front view, if you're naked but just wearing an apron, you're presentable from the front, but all you have to do is turn to get the can of ravioli. off the top shelf,
yeah.
and suddenly, how's your father?
Yeah.
It's,
but isn't that the same with like hospital gowns though? And you wouldn't call those sexy.
Well, no, because you're in a hospital.
Yeah.
Some people find that sexy.
Yeah, I suppose there's something for everyone out there, isn't there?
Listen, as long as you're somewhere businesslike,
yeah,
where you're getting things done,
yeah.
then it's sexy.
Yeah,
it's sexy because right? it's so naughty.
Well, you're just going to get on with it. It's then I'll let
you
know that
you can buy a three pack of maid costumes for $8.99.
Would you buy them for me, please?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Maybe everyone at my table is wearing pinnies.
Yeah, are you sure? Because this is your builder and your cat.
What about my other friends? Have they not been allowed?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Edgar, yeah. Louis.
Yeah, they're all wearing pinnies. They're fully dressed, but they've got pinnies on because a pinny is a sort of the thinking man's bib.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does eliminate any, possibility of splat or splattage or spillage. Mm-hmm.
Do you like that in a restaurant when they give you a bib?
When they give me a bib in a restaurant?
Like in a...
It's never happened.
A seafood restaurant or a barbecue restaurant, sometimes they'll have like a plastic bib and they'll come and put it on for you.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened to me. I don't know if I like it. I'd have to experience it. I don't know. It feels that like the closest association I've got is when you sit down in a barber's chair and the barber puts the... stands and presses their tummy into your back.
Your backless chair?
Well, no, you're right. The tummy. I mean, this barber's got a high tummy.
Yeah.
And drapes the thing around you and ties it. I quite like that. Feels like you're in for something, doesn't it?
You like the tummy on the...
I like the draping of the thing around the chesticles and the tying of the thing around the back of the neck. Feels like a ceremony, doesn't it?
Like a sort of crowning ceremony, like a coronation.
I feel like it's more like a sorting hat situation than a coronation.
Right. Why? Because the way you look at me as if I've got something to say about that. You looked at me with quite a Newsnight face and tilted your head.
What do you think?
Like, Joe, go. Run with that. I don't know where to run.
You know
with
what
that.
To do, Joe.
Sorting out a coronation. I got lost about two non sequiturs ago.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream starter.
Dream starter. Okay, well, I think I was thinking about this and I'm going to, like, in the dream restaurant, can I be anywhere that I want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the rules of space and time are suspended.
Yeah.
So I would go for a bruschetta.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Very funny thing to follow, yeah. You asking, yeah, if the rules of time and space are suspended.
Well, this isn't any old bruschetta.
Absolutely loved it. Can I do whatever
meal,
I like?
Right? So the one of the...
No, science, okay,
so
does this not apply. The rules of science don't apply. A bruschetta, please.
This is the follow-up to your poshest meal I've ever had.
Great.
Right? So when Attack the Block came out, this Italian producer bought it to distribute in Italy. His name was Aurelio De Laurentiis. Mm-hmm. Dino De Laurentiis' nephew.
Yes.
Dino De Laurentiis, famous producer, right? Barbarella, Flash Gordon, Blue Velvet, Conan.
No idea.
Serpico.
Oh, I know Conan.
Yeah.
But
famous,
I like
famous Italian producer. Anyway, his nephew, he buys it for Italy. He puts me in a private jet. I'm at a festival in Switzerland, in Locarno. Uh-huh. He says, Joe, come and see me. I want to meet you. I love your film. Oh. A little bit like that, his voice was.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so he puts me on a private jet from Locarno. I fly to Naples, where I get on a speedboat, like a sexy speedboat, big James Bond speedboat. I get, like, speedboated out to this little bay off the island of Capri, where Aurelio De Laurentiis is floating in this beautiful cove with a little plastic floating tray with a cappuccino on it.
Mm. Wow.
I get off the speedboat. I bash my ankle against the steps so there's blood running down my ankle.
Immediately ruining the scene.
Well, I'm in excruciating pain and I'm dribbling blood everywhere. I don't say anything about it. I just get in the water. Oh, salty sting, healing the wound. And I swim over to, and that's how I meet Aurelio. Anyway, yeah, cut a long story short, I stay a night in on the island of Capri. Yeah. He takes me the next day for lunch on this private island off the Amalfi Coast, which has Rudolf Nureyev's villa on it, yeah, right? The ballet dancer. I think it's called La Galli or something. You can hire it now for about like $300,000 a minute. So it's on this private island and a friend of Aurelio's is staying there and we have lunch there and they just bring the most incredible tomatoes. Mm. I've always had a conflicted relationship with tomatoes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't like them as a kid at all. And tomatoes are a fruit, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these tomatoes really tasted fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, really extraordinary. Like, all my life, my dad has said, don't be so fussy about tomatoes. They're a fruit. I'm like, shut up. They're not a fruit. They're weird.
Yeah.
These tomatoes, they were just sensational. And they were chopped into a bruschetta with some amazing olive oil on. Mm. And it was just the most beautiful thing I've ever tasted. There was another big, mysterious billionaire who I think had hired the island. And he had all these peculiar artists and people there. It was very odd. It's a bit like that John Fowles book, The Magus. Have you ever read that?
No.
People who've read that might know what I mean. Just this weird collection of people. So I'm sitting next to Aurelio. He's smoking a cigar. The other billionaire's smoking a cigar. Aurelio's watching him and he leans over to me and says, that man smokes a cigar like he is sucking a cock. And I say, yeah, yeah, he is. What? That's the sort of thing billionaires, the sort of quip.
Yeah.
Billionaires, I mean,
it's
make.
It's good. And that guy leant over to the guy who's next to him and said exactly the same thing about Aurelio, probably. Yeah.
Also, I'd imagine I wasn't there, but I don't think he was.
From the mental picture in your mind?
Well,
or do
listen,
you think they're two very different?
I've been very lucky in my life to
have sucked a lot of cocks.
I've seen people smoking cigars.
Yeah.
I've seen, do you know what? I've seen people.
Yeah, doing that.
Going down on people.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine anyone doing one as they would do the other.
Really? When I suck a cock, I go.
That's a pipe, isn't it? I think this guy might have been licking the tip of the cigar with a circular tongue motion. I don't know whether this is a false memory syndrome. See, that's what sprung into my head.
I feel like you might have invented that.
Don't you moisten the one end of the cigar? Oh, I don't fucking know what I'm talking about. Anyway, listen, Aurelio de Renzi was a really lovely, incredibly generous man.
Yeah.
And he gave me the time of my life. Yeah. He also gave me the tomato of my life. So for my starter, I would be there in that on Rudolf Nureyev's private island
yeah.
with Aurelio and the cigar-sucking man
yeah.
with that bruschetta, with the elements of that bruschetta.
Oh, you should probably just jump in and say, when we talk about a mysterious billionaire on a private island,
yeah.
it's not that one, right?
No, it's that not one, that. Well, there's a few to choose from.
What a reveal. What a reveal at the end of that story.
I was only there for lunch, so I don't know what happened when the sun went down.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed of a legal age
yes.
there. But everyone was quite confused. It's well, beautiful. Look at it on the internet. It's amazing.
It sounds
beautiful
stunning.
Villa.
Bruschetta's the kind of thing where the best version of it is like...
Why would you need anything else?
Why would you need yeah. anything else? It's great.
You think?
Yeah.
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 I mean, crunchy.
A good bruschetta.
Mm, fresh, delicious.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh. I think billionaire bruschetta, that's how you want it.
Yes.
Billionaire bruschetta.
The billionaire bruschetta club.
Yeah.
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 That's a new series for Netflix.
It's a new hip-hop label.
Yeah, yeah. Billionaire bruschetta.
It also sounds like a horrible hybrid between billionaire shortbread and bruschetta.
Yeah.
like just well, a thick layer of caramel. Tomato. Oh no, James is interested.
Look at who you're talking to.
I'm interested as well.
Look at who you're talking to. You think if I don't want that?
you'd eat that like you were sucking a cock.
I would. I, you know how I suck a cock. I attack the cock. Championi, championi, ole, ole, ole. Would you say, Joe, that I was the championi just then?
I don't know. You sort of insulted my film, so no.
I didn't insult
was that
film.
Like a football chant?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aurelio took me to the only football match I've ever been in my life because he owns Naples. He owns Napoli.
Yes.
And we drove there the wrong way down a busy road, literally into the oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary and because it was Aurelio and all the fans just parted.
Wow.
And we watched a match in Naples football ground, which is really old, and they can't rebuild it because it's taken them centuries to figure out where all the different families sit.
Uh-huh.
And if you knocked it down, Aurelio told me, and rebuild it, you'd have to enter negotiations with all the different families
yeah.
into how much stand they had. And
yeah.
It's just evolved over so long that it's sort of settled now.
Wow.
But it's sort of crazy and crumbling, and it was quite an aggressive... violent, messy game.
Wow.
I loved it.
During that trip, were you just every 5 minutes going, what the hell is going on?
I can't quite believe it happened. He invited me over a few times. Joe, come to my estate in Sicily. I give you $1 million. Write the film for me. He owned half of Cinecittà. Cinecittà is a very famous Italian film studio where all the Fellini films were shot and stuff.
Okay.
He was a lovely man, but no, I just went home.
He didn't give you £1 million?
No, he didn't.
Your dream main course.
Okay, well, I'm going to go somewhere else for my dream main course. I think I would go to... Do you ever, like, go on holiday? Do you ever go on holiday?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, well, I have been, yes.
You're yeah. so privileged. to Crete, or one of the Mediterranean islands.
Mm.
And you're driving along the coast and you stumble upon what seems like a little family-run restaurant
mm-hmm.
with only 3 or 4 tables.
Yeah.
This happened to us on a holiday to Crete, and we stumbled upon this little restaurant by the sea with little tables. And I think it was run by a husband and wife. And we thought, well, we'll try this place. And we sat down, and it had just sort of quite a simple menu, fish and chips and grilled yeah. shit. not dear.
Just two
you know
things
I'm
on
saying?
The menu.
Stuff, yeah. shit meaning stuff. And so we ordered fish and chips and a salad.
Uh-huh.
And so basically it was as if Tom Conti from Shirley Valentine rolled up his sleeves with his hairy forearms,
yep.
waded into the sea, like pleasured a fish to death with his fingers, bought it out, literally just gutted it,
yeah.
slapped it on the grill while his wife... his grumpy, horny-nosed wife skinned some fresh potatoes
uh-huh.
and then threw them dismissively into a scalding pan of boiling hot oil. And then his luscious daughter peeled a lettuce and sliced a cucumber.
Yeah.
And then while they're doing this, we're just looking out over the sea and looking at the stars, looking at the island of, what was it called? Spinalona, what's it called?
Spinacometer?
No, what is it called? I wrote it down. Spinalonga. Beautiful island, no lights on it, you know, deserted. Yeah. Oh. And then they just serve you this just incredible fresh, grilled, fried yumminess.
Mm.
And then the bill comes and it's like almost nothing.
Like a quid.
So you just tip them incredibly generously because you thought that's how much it would cost.
Yes.
So you feel good about that as well. And then you leave. And then you try and find it again and you can't.
And it's gone.
It's just like a mystical, magical...
And it burnt down 100
years ago. Mediterranean.
Yeah.
They were all dead. Lockwood & Co. Netflix, January the 27th.
Yeah. Don't let them touch you.
Yeah. But have you ever had an experience like that?
Yeah, and it's the very Mediterranean experience as well, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and also Peckham.
Peckham.
No, that's not true. I don't think there's any places like that in Peckham.
It's where the surroundings really help the taste of the food as well, I think. But also, like, if it's fresh fish and fresh cut chips, it's incredible. But if you have those surroundings and the company you're with and looking out across the sea, like, you can't really get much better than that.
Just me, the simple Mediterranean people, the fish and my industry friends. Chatting about the business.
It's the thing I'm always like, because I haven't really had an experience like that. And I'm always very jealous because we've had some guests come on the podcast and fresh caught fish that they've had on a holiday is often one of the things that comes up because obviously it's one of the best things you can eat anywhere.
Mm.
And every time I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do it so bad. Like, and I should, whenever my next holiday is, deliberately go to somewhere where I can do that because...
Are you saying you didn't get that at Disney?
No, when I went to Disney World, I didn't get the freshly caught fish.
Yeah.
Because they have to...
SeaWorld would do it.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good. Should have gone there.
At Disney, they do have, well, fresh fish, but they take it and then they have to cut it all into the shape of Mickey's head.
Yes.
And it just, by the time it gets to you, it's
right,
just...
Right, or flounder.
Just, yeah,
or flounder. Yeah.
Or Nemo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do your dream side dish.
Yes.
So you've got chips with the fish anyway, but that's all part of the main.
Yeah, that's on the main plate. Well, I don't know. I'm not big on side dishes, to be honest. It feels like being unfaithful, you know, a bit on the side. Feels like having a fancy woman. Do you know what I mean? Like, just have the fucking main dish and don't, like, put it on the plate. Like, what's the point?
But you're very welcome to put it on the plate, but, you know, this is just an opportunity for an extra bit of delicious food.
Mm.
Right. Well, I don't know. I really couldn't really think of anything exciting, but if I got to have a vegetable, right? Mm. So usually it's the sort of, it's where you get your veg.
Mm.
Well, I'm trying to think of the word. It's like the righteous portion of the meal, the good for you bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would just like somebody to say, I've grated some carrot and and put something nice on it, like some sort of crumbly, nutty, you know, shit that makes carrot taste nice.
Like a sort of crumb, a crumbly, nutty
something
crumb.
Something like that. You know, stuff that people do to make boring vegetables taste like they deserve to be eaten.
Some herbs.
I had some the other day and it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was like some oil, maybe some warm butter with bits of like crumbly toast and nuts and probably some little bacon flecks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to elevate anything, put some bacon flecks on. Yeah.
But it's grated carrot you want.
It was grated, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You don't want to sit in a high-class restaurant like Bugs Bunny and nibble a
whole carrot.
Ah, what's up?
Smoking a cigar then.
Hold on. We only got what's up there and not Doc, but then you were...
Well, because it was the maitre d' I was talking to.
Yeah.
And it was a genuine question. I wanted to know what was up.
What's up?
Yeah, well, I kind of, I bailed on the impression midway through. Because I feel I wasn't committed to it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
I did that in primary school when I was 4 or 5. Mm. There was a girl and it was her last day at the school. And we were sitting down for like register or whatever. And I turned around and said, hey, Siobhan. And before I could say anything to her, the girl next to her went, I love you, like that. And I didn't know what to say. So I went, what's up, Doc? And then I turned back round and faced the teacher, absolutely mortified.
Yeah.
Remember that? I still think about it all the time.
You didn't do the little... doesn't he make a little noise?
I'll probably... what's up, Doc? And then, like, and then like back to the front going,
gutted.
Jesus Christ. But, like, but like, yeah, also probably thinking, that other kid, that was, they were genuinely funny doing the I love you thing. That was funny.
That's really funny.
And my thing was really, especially for like a 5-year-old
kid.
To go, like, to make use of that little gap of going, hey, Siobhan. She goes, I love you. I said, because that's quite funny for a 5-year-old to tell another 5-year-old on her last day of school before she leaves that they love them. It's quite funny.
This feels like this could be underpinning your whole career.
Yeah, I think
that traumatic moment. This is the origin story,
It is. It's the whole, I'm just trying to be funnier than that girl.
Yeah.
But I'll never be funnier than her because she was 5.
Keep working at it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is it cold grated carrot you want? Just cold grated carrot?
The grated carrot I had the other day was cold, I think, yeah. Mm. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I mean, you seem frightened. You can have what you want.
No, I'm just interested in cold grated carrot with some...
I'm sure there's something better out there.
Crummy, spicy shit on top.
No, well, to be fair, I totally agree with you. It actually brings out the flavour a little bit more sometimes.
Mm.
I mean, carrots taste like dirt. Don't they? However sweet the carrot,
you really
there's a little.
Wash it, man.
But no, inside them there is a core of soil, isn't there? It's very difficult to eat a carrot that doesn't have a little soily aftertaste. Mm. And
I don't agree with it.
No,
you don't agree with
it. No, but it's difficult to. It's also difficult to disagree with because it's your taste.
Yeah, it's you saying it.
No, I can tell. I think I've just got a much more refined palate than you guys.
Yeah.
I think you've got a mud mouth.
The soil.
A muddy mouth.
You've got a mud mouth,
I
mate.
I do have a muddy mouth, yeah. Well, one of the first words I said in this podcast was shit.
Yeah.
So
you're
shit
clearly
box.
Right.
Shit box, you said.
Shit box from a mud mouth.
Here's a question about your mouth, your voice. How many people have asked you this before? Because I'm genuinely interested in this, and I don't know if it has been brought up. But, I mean, you must be aware of it, is that you, Louis, and Adam have the same voice, right?
Yeah, it's my voice. They copied it.
Is that what's happened? Because no one else in the world has it.
Well, you've got to remember I'm older than them. I'm the oldest of the three of us. Louis's the youngest, Adam's in the middle, and I'm the eldest. So my voice broke
Let
first?
Let me tell you, I'd have guessed completely the opposite way around for
really?
That.
Really? That it was Louis's voice and Adam and
I I'd guess that
it.
Louis was the oldest.
Really?
You were the youngest and Adam still remains
well,
in
that's,
the middle.
Well, that's how we've aged. Louis has become a wizened sort of Magnus Pike figure.
Yeah.
Adam disguised... That's not true. He's a very handsome man.
Yes.
This also isn't true. Adam is... is a hides his... face with a beard, so you don't know what's going on, really. I have the face of a sort of middle-aged Annie Lennox impersonator, or maybe Sebastian Coe after he's run a very long race. He's a runner. I don't know what I look like. What's the question?
Same voice.
Why do the three of you have the same voice and no one else in the world has that voice?
Well, because we've been friends since we were 13.
Yeah.
And we've spent a long time together. And I don't know. I really don't know.
Also, you all went to the same school, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't like a voice school.
Okay.
I think other people came out of it speaking different, didn't
they? I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Very nice
but,
voice,
but
you so
do
you know.
Copy each other's... Very like, nice. If you're close friends, you do...
If you spend a lot of time with someone,
Like, I've picked up certain things from Edgar, knowing him a lot.
Yeah.
That I do and I like.
Like directing.
Directing... a lot of writing tips, but also like he would go, "Oh lordy, lordy, lord!" And I now love that's one of my favourite exclamations. Oh lord! And in fact, the other day my mum said it, and I was like, "Oh, she never said that before," but I've been saying it around her, and now she's picked it up. So it's fun just picking up little mannerisms from friends, isn't it? It makes life more entertaining.
Nice. It is nice. And it's a nice way of talking, the way that the three of you have. It's a very
You've
nice...
got a good voice.
Yeah, I've got a great voice.
It's not West Country, is it?
No, it's Kettering, Northamptonshire.
Is it?
But a lot of people, West Country was... When I started comedy, I was on open mic circuit. Everyone assumed I was from the West Country and would say that to me.
Yeah, it's got
but,
a
so
nice
It's about
sort of...
out the side of the mouth, kind of long AR sounds.
But it's sort of slightly Gross. Lazy...
Yeah.
And
slightly
and
is an understatement.
Of, laid back sounding. But then you Horrible. Say very assertive things with it, which is funny. You've got a more like straightforward voice.
Blank.
You think?
Just a blank voice.
Little blank voice.
Yeah.
No, you've got a very nice voice. So you've got a very mellifluous voice.
Is it RP? Is that what people say? Or is that does that mean something else?
Received pronunciation. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means just a sort of, I think it's sort of plain voice.
Really like, plain. That's what I've been for.
It's just sort of like, just like your BBC, your turn average BBC voice.
Ed had a bit of stand-up once where he said that his face looks like when you're making a character on the Wii and it looks like that person before you've added anything to it.
Yeah.
And maybe also has the same voice.
I've got the voice of that as well, yeah.
No, you'd be a good sort of Dean Cain style, you know, Smallville.
Oh,
you know,
please.
Like, you could play Superman Cavill has...
What a compliment.
Yeah.
Did you ever have BBC voice... Have you ever had BBC voice training?
No.
I had BBC voice training.
Did you?
A woman trained me. This is when I was doing the BBC, the Radio 4 film review show. So I had that official training. She tore the corners off a piece of A4 paper, stuck them with sellotape to the microphone like cat's ears. Oh. She didn't know I had a cat.
You breathed in and they immediately stuck to your epiglottis.
Yes, luckily that didn't happen.
How many plies are we talking?
I'm not sure A4 paper has plies. I think those are tissues. Listen, so then she said, talk to the microphone like you're talking to your cat.
Wow. Well.
And that's why when you listen to Radio 4, it's particularly soothing and addictive. Mm-hmm. And she also said, talk to the microphone like you're talking to your partner who is lying next to you in your bed and with their head on the next door pillow.
Uh-huh.
Next door pillow?
Knock, knock.
I'm coming in. And so, so that's why there's a sort of slightly sexy, close, or certainly there used to be a slightly sort of sexy close mic tone to Radio 4, and it's why it's the housewife.
It's been Christ, a while.
The training's wearing off.
Bad.
It's why it's the housewife's favourite. You know.
Well, see, if I got a Radio 4 show, it'd just be me going, "Don't jump on the shelf. Get away from that vase." Because my girlfriend's always doing that.
Really?
Yeah, she jumps on the shelf. She's always everywhere.
Couldn't she just say, "Speak to the microphone like it's your cat"? Why did she have to put the ears on?
I don't know, because that's the sort of inspirational teacher methodology that got her where she was.
Yeah.
Is there a tail? Did she add a little tail to the other side?
She did not add a tail.
No. There was a wire, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You pretend that's the tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, you might make a better teacher than her. Maybe. By extending the cat analogy.
A couple of little legs off of it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering that question about your voice, because I think it all the time. And that's a personal question. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry if it's confusing. And maybe I'll try and get a new voice.
No, I'm trying.
Homer Simpson?
Yeah, any of those any good?
if you started volume? Talking like Homer.
Oh, hello. I don't know. This is just the beginning. It's very protoplasmic.
Yeah.
Embryonic.
Yeah.
And I'll keep working on it. Maybe I need to contact the lady again.
Yeah.
Hello, I need a new voice.
What animal should I speak to?
I sound too similar to my friends and everyone's getting confused. Can you design a new voice for me? Of course I can. I designed Stephen Fry's voice. I designed... Who else has got a particularly distinctive voice?
McKellen?
I designed Ian McKellen's voices. That took me years. I shall design a new voice for you. It's very expensive, but I can do it. Can you afford it? Yes.
And get that Italian man to pay for it.
Yes. Very well. You won't be hearing from me for several months, but when you do hear it from me again, I will have a new voice for you. Thanks very much. Hang up the phone.
And will the voice be that voice you were just
doing? I like that
voice.
Who knows
what the
voice...
nick the voice off that lady.
That one,
yeah, that would be good if you start
tiring, isn't it?
Yeah, you really put...
Listen, let's all do
that.
The rest of this podcast in new voices. In different voices.
Well, let's do it in each other's voices.
Well, that might that's be insulting.
Hard. Yeah, but then we can just carry on the podcast as normal and pretend it's the other person talking.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, that's good.
Go.
Well, thank you for having me on your podcast, guys.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for coming, Joe. So tell us again about your Netflix show. I actually don't. We've heard twice. We don't care.
Dream drink.
James is looking at me like I need to give him the answer.
As you know, I don't like hot drinks. I only just started drinking lemon and ginger, but it's not one of my favourite drinks yet. And actually, I drink alcohol, but I don't drink it that much to be my favourite drink. So actually, my favourite drink would just be a Ribena.
That's good.
Did I get that right?
Well done. I don't think I could host this podcast.
Did I get that right, that it would be a Ribena?
No, I don't like Ribena.
No.
No, I don't like Ribena. My drink. You want to know my drink?
Yes, yeah. Please. That's essentially what. Yeah.
It's not a hot drink, is it? Otherwise,
it's not a hot drink. No. Well,
I
tell you what
down.
I'm drinking a lot of at the moment is Coke Zero.
Good on you.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, we were in the writer's room for this show, mm-hmm. and one of the writers was drinking Coke Zero. I'd never encountered it before.
You never even crossed paths with it?
Wow. No, I think I was drinking, like, I'm very infantile with drinks. I was drinking squash.
Wow.
I was drinking orange, fresh orange juice watered down, mm-hmm. maybe some water.
Fresh orange juice watered down is pretty grown up, though, I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because you're watering it down.
But then I try, and it tastes really good, Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Really good. And I don't drink tea or coffee, so I do need some caffeine from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get it from. I worry about what's in it.
In sure. Coke Zero?
Yeah. I don't know that's how they're making it taste so sweet. So,
yeah.
Well, it's artificial thing, sweeteners
it?
And like...
But it, is it? Is
yeah.
it? Aspartame or whatever
aspartame,
it's called.
Aspartame, yeah.
Well, that's yeah. I think sometimes about because like obviously, so I'm similar. So
yeah.
I like Coke Zero, Diet yeah. Coke,
yeah.
Pepsi Max.
Yeah, Diet Coke's much more watery, isn't it?
Mm.
Girly than than Coke Zero, which is a man is it's specifically designed for men.
Yes. It was targeted for like
the
yeah.
lettering is black. Like darkness and fear and things that men
yeah.
are concerned with.
But yes, they were trying to aim it at people. It's like, again, I mean, I don't want to come across as just a massive fan of Ed Gamble's comedy here. Ed had a bit about moisturiser having to rebrand itself. He's like, oh, it's Bulldog moisturiser for men, which is exactly the same moisturiser
yeah.
as any other thing.
Yep.
But he's having to make stupid men use it and actually take care of themselves.
That was the premise. There was punchlines and stuff.
Yeah.
Some punchlines in it.
That would have been good enough for me.
He'd do his catchphrase a lot of the time.
Just observational
yeah, right.
comedy.
Right, so it's just the same moisturiser, guys. So
yeah.
on to the next bit.
I remember watching that routine and thinking, do you know what? I know he's my friend, but that's a bloody good point. And also, to me, because I haven't had full-fat Coke in ages,
yeah.
so Coke Zero and Diet Coke tastes just like a full-fat Coke now. So there's
yeah.
no point
yes.
me having a full-fat
yes.
Coke.
You can tell the difference, though, between Coke Zero and Diet Coke, right?
Yes.
What's
yes.
the difference?
I think you're right that the Diet Coke tastes a bit more
yeah,
watered down.
It's got thinner. A little bit of perfume in it.
I think there's a... Really?
A splash of perfume.
You think
it's
they've floral. Marketed it to women by
it's
putting
just,
perfume
yeah,
in it?
It's just lighter... And more airy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a convertible car, long blonde hair blowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but it says a lot about you.
Whereas Coke Zero, zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can deal with zero. We're not frightened of zero. Zero, nothing. Zero.
Mm. On a hot day, what would you prefer?
What? I'd always go for Coke Zero because it's
you?
Sweeter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
That's
tastes sweeter.
Though.
And I did read up on it. Mm. And you'd have to drink like litres and litres a day for it to have. Or a rat. Would have to drink litres and litres a day before the rat started growing enormous balls on its head.
On its head.
That
yeah.
is what happens with too much because it's so, it's got testosterone in it.
That's what it is.
It's sweetened with testosterone.
Yeah, yeah.
Diet Coke has a little bit of perfume. Coke Zero has a little bit of testosterone.
What?
But if you drink too much, you start getting too manly.
If you like the Coke Zero sweeter.
Yeah.
So have you ever... dove into the world of Cherry Pepsi Max?
No. I don't. Do you like that stuff?
We like Cherry Pepsi Max.
Cherry
on this
Pepsi
podcast.
Max. And I've got a
Do
bone
you?
To pick.
Mm.
I think there's a conspiracy to get rid of Cherry Pepsi Max.
Really?
Every petrol station I've been into recently, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
All the Cherry Pepsi Max is gone, and it's Pepsi Max with raspberry.
Yeah.
Which looks almost exactly the same because it's only yep. a tiny little fruit emblem. So I bought that accidentally a few times.
Yeah.
And the Coke Zero with cherry is like taking up most of the shelf space. I think I've not seen a cherry Pepsi Max for about a month.
That does happen every now and then. There's every now and then there's like machinations in the industry that the consumer can barely, you know, glimpse.
Yeah.
Like when Haribo took over the entire sweet industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened by stealth, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one year there was pick and
around.
Mix.
Yeah.
The next year there was fucking Haribo.
Yeah,
everywhere.
That's all you can get. But they could be phasing it out.
They could be.
I'd
no one drinks
Why
the
Why would you phase it out?
No one drinks the raspberry.
I mean, no
disgusting.
One over 12 generally drinks that stuff, do they?
What?
Cherry Pepsi Max is my little treat when I'm driving somewhere,
is
thank
it?
You.
Yes. Yeah. So have you had one?
Would you drink cherry juice? Oh, lovely cup of fresh cherry juice. Would you get a cherry juicer?
I'd get a little cherry juicer.
And drink fresh cherry juice?
A while, I used to have a bottle of sour cherry juice in the fridge because I heard it was healthy.
Seriously?
Nice. Yeah.
And was it nice?
Yeah. You can buy it in concentrate as well, put it in like smoothies and
stuff. Would you squeeze a cherry into a drink just to add a little bouquet?
100% I'd do that. Yeah.
You're crazy.
In a little cocktail, I'd like spritz a cherry on, wipe it around the edge of the glass.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you're classy.
I love cherries.
I feel very pedestrian in your company. My wife's bought a cherry stoner. Have you ever seen those things?
Oh, I love that. I love the sound of it.
Is that someone who's never smoked weed before?
What? A cherry stoner?
Yes.
That very good. I'm there.
Thank you.
No, it pushes the stone out of a cherry.
Yeah.
At first I thought, what is this ridiculous gadget cluttering up our cutlery drawer? And now I can't eat a cherry without it. It's incredibly efficient.
Is it very satisfying to use it? It sounds satisfying.
It's very satisfying. It precisely just ejects that stone.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's really good. I recommend it. You'd love it.
I'd love it.
You're a cherry aficionado.
I'm a cherry aficionado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a Nelly Furtado. Yeah.
Nelly Furtado, the cherry aficionado.
Yeah, Nelly Furtado.
We've all seen
Furtado.
That Netflix series. Yeah. Your dream dessert.
You know, I'm not a big pudding fan.
Okay.
Because I would rather skip pudding.
Okay.
Feel superior. Oh, I'm not going to have any pudding.
Yeah.
Everyone else eats awful puddings. Oh, you've got a pudding YouTube channel, haven't you, or something? Haven't you?
You're heavily
into puddings.
Yeah, we've done a YouTube series called Just
Pudding. Yeah, James is looking...
Just Puddings.
I don't know. Well, something's going on.
I'm ready for whatever's going to happen here. Right. If you're skipping pudding...
So I'm skipping pudding, but I'll tell you what I'm doing later.
I'm not going to be polite to you now.
Later. So I felt self-righteous skipping pudding and watching and everyone else stuffs their faces and secretly they're thinking... Oh, Joe's better than me. He's not having pudding.
Yeah, that's good.
We're not thinking that. No one's thinking that. We're thinking I'm going to the fucking news agent.
Yeah. And I'm buying some fucking sweets.
Okay, good.
Because the confectionery industry has surpassed the pudding industry.
Wow.
That's a big claim. That is why Roundtree's and Mars have started to migrate into the puddings industry.
Okay.
Snickers ice cream.
Yeah.
Revel's mousse.
Uh-huh.
You know, the puddings industry hasn't migrated into the confectionery industry.
What do you mean, Revel's mousse?
Yeah. Well, you're buying, maybe you don't not know that what flavor specific it is thing, until you get
but
home.
You know, you can get a Revel's mousse.
You can't get a Revel's
mousse.
All right,
mousse. You can get Maltesers mousse.
Yeah, Maltesers mousse.
Yeah. Right. A Revel's mousse would be
magic.
Yeah.
It'd be like a Willy Wonka.
Well, you'd
dessert.
Have those bits in. I mean, they should do it. Or it could be like a fruit corner where you tip the contents into the chocolate. It'd be delicious.
Or it'd have to be like one pot, but you don't know what it is until you get home. So you get home and go, oh, it's like
a massive oversized
It's a minstrel flavor mousse.
Yeah.
And then another time, it's a coffee one. Yeah.
But there's nothing a pudding can do that confectionery can't do better.
Wow.
Well, hold on.
What about heat and texture?
I'm very relieved that you're having a dessert and it is a sweet thing. But at the same time, this claim is...
So for my dessert, 2.5 hours later, I'm having a Yorkie biscuit and raisin duo.
Another product specifically designed for men.
What is your problem, man? They literally had a whole marketing campaign
excluded. I'm very, very manly.
Yeah.
But that's my current Jones.
It's the best Yorkie as well.
That's what I'm going for at the moment.
The best Yorkie. Yeah. By a country mark. Yeah. I don't think I will ever eat any of the other Yorkies again, because why would you? The raisin and biscuit Yorkie is clearly the best. I love the little bits of biscuit. I would love a bag of just little bits of biscuit. I'd love to eat them. I could graze on that quite easy. Yes. Yeah. I think they're very satisfyingly, just perfectly spherical, those little bits of biscuit.
Nice packaging as well.
Mm.
Royal purple.
Royal purple.
Prince loved them.
Really?
Lovely, the yellow and purple goes together.
Yeah,
he only ate. And
he only ate purple things.
He did only drink purple.
Yeah, it's what sent him to an early grave.
Too many Yorkies.
69?
Maybe not.
I think he was 69.
He wasn't, was he? But
I thought that's a new format point.
Wow.
After your dessert.
Once you finish your Yorkie.
You've had your Yorkie.
Yeah.
Would you like to 69?
The old double cigar?
After a heavy meal?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to.
Might be breezy.
Immediately after a heavy meal. Tricky. Actually, I think Bowie was 69 and they died in the same year. So that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
I don't think he was.
Is that the famous year that... No, that's not the famous year.
2016, everyone died. Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. So I know that's controversial, but so if I had to have a pudding from the menu, I would go for a single scoop of vanilla ice cream.
No.
No. We don't want to make you have something.
You go to the garage or whatever, or the news agents, and get yourself a purple Yorkie. And I love that.
And you're getting the duo, which
I'm
respect
getting the duo,
as well.
Yeah, because there's a few more lamps on it.
The single Yorkies.
Not enough.
It's not enough, is it? No. It's quite annoyingly not enough, actually.
When it's, I mean, all of these chocolate bars that they say family pack, sharing bag, duo, I mean, that's bullshit, isn't it?
That's for one.
And they know it's bullshit.
Yeah. It's just legal loopholes.
Which is why they changed. Right. They can't call it king size anymore.
Yeah.
Must be a thing.
But no one's sharing that.
No.
Fucking shit, are they? Do you still think
do you still think king size in your head? When you're eating it, do you think this is king size?
Oh, because did they used to be called king size?
Yeah, they were called king size. And then they changed the duo.
You're someone who likes to quite heavily apply gender to their foods. And then you would be like, this is king size. I'm a king.
Yeah, I would feel like a king.
Yeah.
And you did if you made that movie now. Yeah. The kid who would be king.
Yes.
You'd have to change it to the kid who would be duo and have to have two kids in the lead role.
Yeah.
That would be very good.
Yeah.
And we could be, and it could have been sponsored by Yorkie.
Yeah.
And yeah, instead of Excalibur, it could have been a chocolate sword with some biscuit bits in it.
That would be nice.
That would be very nice. It would come out of the stone more easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if the right person wields it, you know, don't want to pick you up on the folklore, sword. But, you know, you'd have to be, I guess if it was a Yorkie sword, yeah, it'd just be loads of people.
Well, it would snap off too easily, wouldn't it? I don't think it would come out this
well,
stone.
Well, I think Yorkie would have it. That'd be the whole film would be women trying to pull it out and it not working. And then right at the end, just any bloke goes, yeah!
A truck driver.
And pulls it out. I get it! I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Water. You want a big, expensive bottle of sparkling water and you want a champagne flute to drink it out of.
Yes, sir.
Pop on some bread. You want bread from Morro with olive oil.
Yeah.
Starter, the bruschetta from Rudolf Nureyev's private island.
Yes, I do.
Main course, fresh fish with chips and salad from a Crete restaurant that you can never find again.
Yeah.
Side dish, grated cold carrot with crumbly shit that makes it delicious.
Yeah, and that's what I want written on the menu as well.
Drink, Coke Zero. Yeah. Dessert, you're going to pass, but then hours later, you're going to have a biscuit, a raisin, Yorkie duo from a newsagent.
Yeah, that really does sound delicious.
Yeah.
You're excited about it. This is good.
I mean, it felt silly while we were doing it, but now I think this has been very useful.
Yeah. That's what a lot of our guests feel.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they feel awful during the main record. And then
when the results are read, they feel really pleased.
It makes sense.
And it's quite healthy, that as well, isn't it? Yes, it is. Fresh grilled fish, bruschetta.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
that's quite a healthy.
I wouldn't see someone eat that and call them unhealthy.
Sort of Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Sort of that healthy Mediterranean thing, you know, in like the Olivio advert, they're like Mediterranean.
Yes, and I'm in
really
beautiful
healthy.
Locations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apart from the garage.
Yeah.
That's where you end up after all that.
Yeah. But there'll be a garage somewhere even if you're on the Amalfi Coast, there'll be a garage.
Yeah. You can get
I'm sure Aurelio could sort you out with a speedboat to a local garage.
Well, he'd private jet the Yorkies in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Yes, that'd be the final thing to convince you to write the film for him. I'll get you all the Yorkies your heart could desire.
An infinite Yorkie bar just went on forever.
How many chunks do you reckon you'd get through the infinite Yorkie bar?
What, before I died?
Mm. Before you died or you just gave up?
I would not give up.
Okay, before you died.
Would you say, when you did that, you'd attack the chalk? Championi, ole, ole, ole.
What I would say
Will
is
you
that,
admit that I'm the Championi now?
You are the Championi.
I would
Championi.
Say that Joe didn't enjoy it the first time you did that.
Yeah, I do admit that.
Yeah, I knew that it was going to go badly. Joe thinks that I'm making fun of his thing, which I'm not. But I saw Attack the Chalk there. It was right in front of me. And I just wanted to do it again.
Yeah.
That would be
mainly because I wanted
to
sing Championi.
You sang it beautifully.
Ed joined up with me the first time I did it.
Yeah, but
then the second time,
I really got the sense that Joe didn't enjoy it. So I thought James.
Well,
won't
I
go
just
back
feel alienated. You know, I know I did a podcast.
Alienated,
right?
Yeah,
and
Attack the Block's got aliens in it.
And we developed like weird shit that only people who listen to the podcast would know.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Right. We had this call and response thing.
Yeah,
Stephen.
Yes,
Stephen. Other just people coming. Would shout, "Just coming." And if I did it, or like I was at a venue and someone I was with didn't know the podcast and someone shouted, "Stephen," I'd go, "Just coming." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah.
So just that's how I feel you feel Championi. I feel late to the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, full disclosure, we recorded our intro for you before you got here.
Yeah.
I decided during the intro that if you were to choose, because I was worried you wouldn't choose a pudding.
Right.
If you chose cheese and you wanted a block of cheese, I would say attack the block of cheese. And then I would sing Championi afterwards. There was no reason behind it. So it's not a long-running joke on the pod.
Right.
Literally happened before you got here.
I wouldn't even say it's one that I'm in on.
Right. No, yeah. No, it's one of those things that I've decided to do for my own amusement.
And what did you expect from me?
You did exactly what...
What did you want from me?
I thought you'd be confused. You were going to think I was being rude about your film.
That's just my face.
You originally said.
That's just my face.
And then I was like, I shouldn't do it again after that first time. It's what I said to myself in my head. I was like, well, don't do it again. But then when you were saying, I would continue to eat the chocolate over and over the block and I would never stop eating this chocolate, I was like, it's chocolates, we're talking about blocks of chocolates, it's all there. But sorry, because I didn't want to make you feel alienated when you're the guest.
Well, it's too late now.
It's too late, but I do apologize. But that's why you apologize, right?
Well, that's what we like to do. We like to welcome guests into the podcast, and then at the end of the podcast, so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything by ending, we immediately alienate you and make it quite
what
a cold
was my
end.
What was my, you know, thing that I'm not allowed to say?
Cornish pasty.
I guessed that it might be.
Yeah. We didn't really think that one through.
We've run out of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a gift, whatever anyone else.
200. You're coming up to your 200th.
Not far off.
A lot of podcasts. I can't wait.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Joe Cornish for coming on the show. How exciting was that, James?
That was extremely exciting. I felt like a naughty little boy sometimes.
You were a naughty little boy, always. Very odd sometimes when you are speaking to someone in our audio format when you have listened to them so much on an audio format.
Yeah.
I occasionally found myself transported to just listening to the Adam and Joe show podcast, and it was odd for me.
Yes.
But a treat.
Also, I find his voice very relaxing.
Yes.
So, I'd be lulled sometimes as well.
Yeah.
But I think we did well. I think we were never lulled at the same time.
Never lulled at the same time. That's us.
Because that's what people say about us.
We're alternate lullers.
That's why we work well as co-hosts.
Yeah.
Because we never both fall into a lull at the same time.
Yeah. That's the best co-hosts and sort of partner presenting team.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are alternately tuned out of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So like just then when you were talking, I went in a lull, but it was okay. Thank you to Joe for not choosing Kit Kat Chunkies.
No, that wasn't... You've been lulled again, haven't you?
Well, I don't remember what the secret ingredient was. Microwave vegetables.
No, that's a different one. Cornish pasty. It's Cornish pasty. Thank you to Joe for not
scratching with hairs on it.
Choosing Cornish pasty. Make sure you watch Lockwood and Co. That is on Netflix now. Joe's new show. If a ghost touches you, you're dead.
Yeah. And then you become a ghost?
Guess so.
And then you touch someone else?
We'll have to watch Lockwood and Co. to find out. I'm very excited to watch it. It sounds quite up my street, actually.
Absolutely.
Also, we've got some thank yous to do. Thank you so much to Origin Coffee for sending us a massive box of coffee.
Yeah.
And also a cap.
Oh, yes.
It's a cap, a cool cap in there.
Thank you to my parents. Doing a great job raising me.
And thank you to Hallenmon Salt, or Hallenmon. I'm never sure how to say it. I'm so sorry if people would like to correct me or tell me how to say Hallenmon or Hallenmon. Or Helen Moan, I've been told as well. So just the salt from Anglesey.
Yeah.
It's fantastic stuff.
Delicious.
The thing is, they sent us some more salt. I love it. So I've got a pot of it on the side. Keep it in a little sealed pot. Mm-hmm. I've got another little pot of it because they also sell to Marks and Spencer's. And I bought some when I was on tour to take round with me.
Yeah.
I've got a big bag of it. And then in the cupboard the other day, I found a kilogram bag that I'd bought a couple of months ago.
Right. So... warning to all slugs, don't mess with Ed Campbell.
Do not mess with me.
Oh, you'll be fizzing in no time.
That sounds nice, though, for them.
Yeah, good on them. And do you know what? If I was a slug and someone were to salt me, I'd like it to be that salt.
Yeah.
And I'm on salt, please.
And you can start putting that on your website.
Yeah. Even slugs love it.
Yeah, even slugs love it. Or a quote from James Acaster, if I was a slug, I'd like that to be the salt.
Yeah. Sorry, I laughed there just because Ed so quickly agreed with even slugs love it. Yes, even slugs love it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Even slugs love it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.